And a good Monday morning. Welcome in to In Focus News Radio, KMAN. I'm glad to be back here. This is a program I've missed here this month, and I'm glad to be joined here by some great guests here this hour. And later on, we're going to talk with Melissa Kirkwood from the Sunset Zoo. She's the Marketing and Development Officer. But we're going to start things off first. We got Lori Bishop standing by. She's Executive Director of the Flint Hills Volunteer Center, and she joins us here via Zoom. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's great to be back. And I know Dave Lewis filled in for me here the last couple weeks. He's been wearing a lot of hats, as a lot of our news. And I know he's involved with a big event that you had last week as well, and that is the Festival of Trees. I know we were talking here a little bit off air, kind of about how that whole experience went down, but maybe kind of recap that for a little for our listeners and just how successful that was.
Yeah, it was a little different for us. We've been doing this, oh goodness, nearly 20 years now, and the pandemic caused a little crisis for us on what do we do. And as I told you earlier, bottom line is this is our one major fundraiser for the year, and it supports several important programs that we have, and we felt like we needed to do what most other nonprofits were doing and go virtual. And it was a little bit different for us, and a learning curve for us. But what was exciting is we had all of our displays downtown. The majority of those were at the mall and in several downtown businesses. And our rainforest tree was at the Flint Hills Discovery Center. And so it was really nice because this time, the whole community had the opportunity to come by and see all of the displays that we had. They were absolutely beautiful. I really liked them, and have them spread out within the mall was pretty exciting too. And for the first time in history, we had our silent auction items available out there as well. So people had a chance. It was really kind of fun watching that because there was some major bidding wars going on that. So up until it ended on Friday at noon. So it was exciting to see that. But I think all in all, I feel really confident that we did just as well as we did last year and in previous years. So major thanks to the community and those that purchased items. Big thank you to WTC as our presenting sponsor. Boy, they really stepped up and helped us as well. And, you know, our designers, Tara Jackson, Mickey Jensen, Dale Anderson, Steve Fisher, they just were phenomenal in coming up with a lot of these designs that we had. So there's so many people that we couldn't have done this without. And so, big kudos out to everybody for that.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this is your biggest fundraiser of the year. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what the funds go to support here for the Volunteer Center.
Yeah, we have some new core programs that we've been working on. One of those is in the area of suicide prevention. We're part of the Yellow Ribbon Suicide Prevention International Program, and we have a task force. And so my staff and I and several of our task force members are now certified suicide prevention trainers. And so our goal is to work on that. And our thing that we say is it's okay to ask for help, and so we're hearing more and more of this. We partnered one of our task force members works at Fort Riley. And so we work closely with Fort Riley and with our veterans. And one of the things with Yellow Ribbon Suicide Prevention, their bigger focus is on youth or high school students. And so our goal is eventually to get into that. This year, our focus is on veterans and elderly or older adults. And then moving forward, probably a year from now, we hope to introduce the program to our high school and college age students. And so before I tackled that, I really wanted to make sure we had everything in place on what we're doing with that. We have a PowerPoint presentation. We've taken our yellow ribbon cards that has the numbers. If you're having those thoughts, or you know somebody, there's a card that lists numbers of where you can call to reach out for help. And so our goal is trying to make people aware that it's okay, and encourage that conversation that we have going. Our other one is, of course, the opioid epidemic, trying to make people aware of that. We have medication disposal bags that we are handing out, especially to the older clientele. That's on how to safely discard used and unused and used medications or expired medications. And it's just a simple thing of pouring a little powder into a pill bottle, shaking it up, and it dissolves it, and it's eco-friendly. You can throw it away in the trash. And so one of the things that we learned in a training was that when people might go to see a home for sale, one of the first things they do is go to the medicine cabinet and look for medications there. And so it's encouraged to keep your medications in your kitchen or some other place that's not readily available to someone outside your home. So some awareness of that. Our Elder Justice Program is where we tap into to help make older people know about the frauds and scams out there. They are the most targeted group of people. And so there are numerous scams out there, even with Social Security and the unemployment fraud that I even got caught on that one myself. And so I had to file a report on that. So it's just making people aware. And I know of probably five off the top of my head that have been the recipient of a fraud at a large number of dollars that was in that. So we're really trying to educate that population as well. And of course we work closely with our veterans and families, and our Cookie Brigade is probably our biggest claim to fame with that. We have a lot of corporate sponsors and businesses and volunteers and K-State students and our high school students make homemade cookies, and we deliver those to Fort Riley or to our local healthcare officials or first responders. And so there's just so many opportunities that are out there. We currently have a database of over 1,000 volunteers. And so it's amazing to me during this pandemic how we keep getting all of these volunteers wanting to sign up. I think so far this year, we are about 400 new volunteers. And so that just shows this community how much people support their community and want to help out. And so that's been really exciting to see that.
Yeah, well, I believe that. And, you know, one of the things that's come to light here this year, especially with our senior community, is how important it is to continue to get, you know, food to them. And I know you have the friendship meals that you have volunteers that help with that. How's that program going here? Because I know that's one that struggles sometimes.
Yeah, that, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, when we try to explain with friendship meals, it's kind of a three-part series here. The Agency on Aging is the one that puts on that program. It's housed at the senior center, and then we try to find all the volunteers to help with that. And so, you know, I've got to say, during this pandemic, the volunteers have really stood up. We actually provided safety kits to a lot of our volunteers that included a face mask or hand sanitizers or wipes. We have a medical transportation program as well. And so, we had to shut down for a while during that, but we have protocols that we've had to put into place. And you know, if they're transporting another older adult to a medical appointment, you know, we ask that the client sit in the back seat, and the driver has to make sure they wipe everything down. We can't transport anyone if they're not wearing a face mask. So we have lots of face masks available for that as well. But for us delivering meals, that's going really well. You know, we provide volunteers to help with harvesters. That's one that, you know, getting food to the community and needs isn't going to go away even during a pandemic. And so we've been really blessed to have A lot of volunteers step up to help with that. We even, the call even went out that they needed volunteers to help with the COVID testing sites. And I think last week we had 7 volunteers that we recruited for that one. And so that's something that, and especially as those numbers are really growing and people getting tested, there is a big need for people to go out and take fill out the paperwork for that COVID testing. But, you know, the blood mobile, that needs to still continue. Meals on Wheels continues. So all of those essential items are still needed. And we've got to be able to make sure that we do have people covered for that. You know, and even during this pandemic, we had to get creative on how, especially when we were in that first part of the shutdown, is how we can continue. And those people that are used to volunteering and now can't volunteer. So we're trying to get real creative and think of projects that we could have them do in their home so that they can continue to keep focused and keep going. And, you know, it's just been proven that depression has affected a lot of people. A lot of our volunteers aren't used to being in your house 24/7 and not having things to do. And so when this first happened earlier in the year, we were calling our volunteers and asking how they're doing. We've made some care packages and delivered, I think we had 35 of our volunteers over the age of 80. And so we put together these little care packages and delivered them personally to them that just had some toiletries and some puzzles and some, you know, some things like that, just to let them know, you know, that we were thinking of them and stuff. And we even had a small grant where we purchased germ kits. And I think we gave them to about 60, I believe it was, children ages 3 to 5 that are through the Raising Riley program. And it had a book in it called What Are Germs? And then we put like kid-friendly, like hand sanitizer, so things like that, that we gave and encouraged some conversation among families at home during this time. So, you know, we've been in this business for, oh goodness, we'll be going on 47 years here after the first of the year. And so that's something that we've taken pride in, that we'll get creative and think about what we can do. We even had a K-State student come in every Wednesday and do a virtual story time. And so we're wanting to continue that, thinking about how we can do things virtually. So we've had to get really creative this year for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and you know, that's not a bad thing, I suppose. It challenges you here to come up with some neat events. And, you know, I was disappointed that I couldn't go check out the Veterans Day festivities, and I know you guys are heavily involved with that, but there were some great speeches in the essay contest, which I know you're involved with. Can you talk a little bit about how great that was this year?
Yeah, you know, it was a little harder for us to get the word out to families that have children that qualify for the poster and essay contest. But in the end, we got quite a few, and it was really nice. I think actually for posters, there were about 14 different schools where at least one child put together a poster, but we had quite a few of them. And then the essay contest was really nice about with the essay contest. Those essays are looked at from our veterans. And so it's our retired veterans that actually read the essays and help select the winners. And it's always difficult every year. I hear that every year from the volunteers about how hard it is to try to find the winners. But, you know, and it's really awesome because there's really nice cash prizes available to those winners. And for the essay contest, the first place winner gets $150 in cash, second place $100, and third place $50. And then posters, it goes anywhere from 40, 30, all the way down for that. So there's some nice cash prizes involved with that. It's really cute to see the reactions when they see how much cash they won. You know, for a fourth grader, seeing that they won $40, that's like $200 to us. And so it's kind of really cool to see that. But it's really nice to to have the kids learn about patriotism and our veterans and stuff like that. So we always look forward to that every year as well. So, you know, like I said, with all of these things that we do, the Festival of Trees is what's really important for us to do that. And you know, we did a little bit differently this year because we called it Holidays at Home. And so we thought this is something that can be a family-friendly event. That's why I liked having it at the mall as well, because families could together go and look at the different displays and stuff like that. Next year, we're talking about doing a scavenger hunt involving all the displays. So that might be something kind of fun to do too. But so that was what I really liked about it this year. It was Holidays at Home, put on your pajamas, you know, watch us virtually and see how that goes. And kids could watch and beg their parents, bid on this. I heard about some of those things happening too. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had some challenges, but I think anybody trying to do something different for the first time is going to kind of run into some of those challenges.
Yeah. Well, if people want to see photos of the different displays, is that up on your website right now?
Yeah, it's at Facebook. We have it up on our Facebook as well. We offered two awards this year, social media award, and that went to Family Implant Dentistry. And then we had a People's Choice Award, and that went to the dog tree that we had. So we put all of those, yeah, all the photos are on there. We still have more to come, trying to get that, but coming into the Thanksgiving holiday and we're closed. I'm off actually this week, and then our office is going to be closed for the rest of the week to give us a little break so we can come back and go at it hard and heavy again as well. So, but yeah, everything is on there. And we owe, you know, another Foothills Moving Company. We owe a lot to them too. They picked up all of our stuff. They delivered it to the mall. They came back, packed it all up, took it back to our office, and they had some trees and stuff to deliver. So that was really great. We really appreciated all that we did too. And of course, Dave is our master of ceremonies that kind of put this together and got those bids going and stuff. So we just owe so much to a lot of people in our community and are grateful that we had the support that we did. So, you know, when you're a nonprofit and for us, especially that our whole program is operated through grants. There's a lot of grants that we have to write to support this huge program that we have. And anytime if you would lose one of those grants, then you got to get real creative to think, how am I making up those dollars to support what we just lost? And so it puts a lot of stress on nonprofits on how they can continue if their fundraiser isn't successful. And so we've been truly blessed that the community stepped up and our people that have purchased items. Man, we owe you a lot. We thank you for that.
Well, it's a great event and a great organization, the Flint Hills Volunteer Center. And Lori, we appreciate you coming on and giving us an update on everything going on. And I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks so much. Lori Bishop, again, Executive Director of the Flint Hills Volunteer Center. Stay tuned. We'll talk with Melissa Kirkwood from the Sunset Zoo up next.